Welcome to the C3 Church Podcast. Stay tuned for this week's message.
Great. Well, we want to speak on intimacy through prayer. And I always used to kind of think that was something someone else had. I struggled with it until I found some keys. And I want to share some things that will help you too. And I believe sometimes the things that we seek are much easier to find if we just know how. Let me just share with you a story before we just open up the scripture. Some years ago, I was mowing some lawns in a place we lived, and there was this a fruit tree. It had the branch was right down low, so I cut. It was in the way of the mower, so I just cut it off and dropped it, and just left it there on the side. I think I'll get rid of it next week. And anyway, I came back next week to do the lawns, and I noticed an interesting thing. I noticed that the fruit tree had budded, and now there's these tiny buds of the new season starting to come all over the tree. And what I noticed was the branch that was broken and on the ground, it also was identical. You couldn't tell it was different from the tree. And I thought, well, that's amazing. I must watch this. I'll leave the thing there a little longer. So I came back a week later, and the tree is just colored in all these beautiful blossoms. It's just the beginning of the fruit season. And look at the branch on the ground. The branch on the ground was exactly the same. And then the Lord spoke to me, he said, they look the same, but that one's cut off from the source. And if you watch it, it's already dead, it just doesn't know it. It's living off what was in the branch, but there's no source. And he said, it will come to an end. And so I just left it there for a while. And sure enough, the tree continued to grow and the other branches bore forth fruit. And this one, it just withered and died and there was nothing came. But for a while, they looked identical. And it's just like that in your walk with God. If you don't connect, connection with God is a matter of life or death. Connection with God is life or death. Sin disconnects us. Intimacy connects us. And it's a matter of life or death. So when you're connected, you'll find there's a flow of life. You may not feel it, see it, but it produces a fruit in you. When you're disconnected, you may not sense or feel anything much different, but in the course of time, your life will show up the impact of it. And so we want to talk about intimacy, the need to connect with God, get a hold of God. Let's have a look in Psalm 27, verse 4. Intimacy is something you pursue. It doesn't just happen. And I've been married a number of years, many, many years now. And I tell you what, it's still something I'm pursuing with my wife, getting to know her. Because you find this, as you think you know the person, you find there's things you don't even know. With God, He's unsearchable. I have had experiences with God in this last year I have not had in all of my life. As I have set to pursue Him, I've started to experience Him in fresh and new and amazing ways. I'll touch on them a little bit as we go through one of the keys in this. So Psalm 27 verse 4 is a psalm. It's David writing. He said in Psalm 27 verse 4, he said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. I love that verse. Here's David, the greatest king in Israel's history. Here's a man who was a shepherd boy, but when he was a shepherd boy, did you realize this? He was so low in stature in the family that when a prophet came to the house, they didn't even bother to invite him in. When the prophet was looking to anoint someone, it never entered anyone's mind that this boy might have what it takes. He was just out there on his own as the youngest member, the despised young member of the family, out there with the sheep. And in that place with the sheep, where there was no one else, he learned to touch God. He learned in that place where no one really wanted him, where he felt rejected, felt out there alone. There's no one to talk to but sheep, and they're not very good at conversing. He found a place with God. A place with God. And I want to share with you how you go about doing that. But notice what he says, one thing. This is a passionate pursuit in my life. One thing have I desired. Listen, what you desire, you will seek after. The things that you really want, that's what you'll chase. One of the things about God, that the more you desire Him and begin to seek after Him, the stronger the desire comes. It's like something seems to grow inside you till you just can't do without Him. You just want to have that time with Him. And so one thing have I desired. So pursuit of God is what brings us into a place of intimacy. It's a lifelong endeavor. It's a lifelong journey getting to know Him and getting to discover Him, getting revelation from Him, learning to know Him as a friend. And I have found I can never get enough. I can never get enough. So David, a great king and a leader, said, this is my passion. This is what motivates me. You know, we look at David and we see how he changed. Literally, he brought revival to a nation. But here's the secret. You notice he didn't say, my desire is to be king. My desire is to bring revival. My desire is to do this. He said, this is the one desire. This is what motivates my life. This is a key to why I am like I am. I've got this intense desire for God to commune and be intimate. His ministry to the nation was the overflow of the intimacy. We tend to put it the other way around. We want to get busy and hope God will bless it rather than getting intimate and seeing the overflow of that relationship with Him. If you put the work of God before the God of the work, you'll find yourself stressed and strained and unproductive. You've got to put the Lord of the work first. You've got to learn how to find a place of priority in the busyness, the stresses, the demands of life that I can meet with God. I want to show you how to do that. It's not so hard. Let's have a look in James 4 and verse 8. Intimacy is about being connected. It's about being connected. It's a sense and a feeling of being close, of where your innermost being can open up and you can feel as though someone knows you and you are starting to connect at a very deep level with them. Intimacy is about closeness. Notice what it says in James 4:8. James 4:8. Here's a promise for you. Draw near to God. Draw near to God and He will. Is there any, He may, or for some, He will draw near to you. There's a promise that if we align ourselves and position ourselves to draw near to God and begin to start to apply ourselves to coming near to Him and approaching Him, He will draw near to us. And the whole context of James 4, he's talking about the conflicts we face in life. He's talking about wanting things and not getting what you want, about wars and strife and fightings. And he goes through and he begins to talk about the problem that the world brings so much pressure on us, brings a pressure on our life. It's a demand for your time, a demand for our attention, a demand for our affection, a demand for our priorities. And he's saying in the midst of it all, you can find yourself where you just so like the world and everything that you do that you've actually become an adulterer in terms of your relationship with God. You put everything else ahead of intimacy with Him. Number one thing is God does not have casual relationships. He has a covenant relationship and He wants you to learn how to love Him and enjoy Him. And I want to show you some things that will help you in that. And so James begins to describe, he says, the world puts a pull on you, your own flesh puts a pull on you. He said, even demons will put a pull on you. And he said, if you'll align your life right with God, submit to God, resist the devil, he'll go, then draw near to God and He will draw near. And so I made it a pursuit that I would discover what it is to draw near and to feel the presence of God, to actually enjoy Him at home, to be able to experience Him and come out saying, I've met with God, I've felt His presence, I've heard Him talk. And I'll share some things that are reasonably simple and practical that will help you do that. Amen? Okay, so let's have a look at one of the first keys. I want you to have a look with me, Mark 1, verse 35. Mark 1, verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, He went out into a solitary, He went out and departed into a solitary place, and there He prayed. You can't develop intimacy without time. You cannot develop intimacy without time. So prioritize time to be alone with God. Make it a priority. Listen, you're choosing something. Every one of us got 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, unless you know something I don't know. So how you spend your time indicates what's important. I was out on the beach there. I go out on the beach every day to walk along, to pray. Well, I mean, here it's a wonderful beach. And what I was amazed is how many people are out there so early. You've got people in Lycra riding and biking and running. And I'd never seen so much Lycra everywhere. These guys in Lycra and then girls and they've got trainers down there, got people doing boxing on the beach. I've never seen anything like it before. Man, they're into fitness here in a big way. And this is 6:15 in the morning. Even earlier, I thought, I normally get up at 5. I was up at 5:15. It looked like I was late. I thought, it's 5:15, and I feel like I'm late already. I hate being late. Can't stand it. I had to get up earlier so I could beat everyone out there. There's people out on surfboards at 5:30. It's like they've got their priorities. They want to go out on the beach, and it's such a beautiful beach. I understand why. But what about the priority of getting time alone with God? Getting time alone with God. And so you notice with Jesus, Jesus was one of the most stressed, pressure. There was so much stress and pressure on him, but he learned to maintain balance in his life. He had the pressure of ministry, he had the pressure everywhere he went. People were contrary, they were against him. He had people looking at every moment to accuse him, to find fault in what he did. He lived under pressure. He lived with people waiting to catch him out on one little thing so they could then go for him. He lived with immense pressure around him, yet he was able to stay relaxed and at peace and bring that peace wherever he went. How do you do that? It's an internal thing. It's a fruit of a relationship with God. Peace is not something you get outside you. It's something that you come to inside you out of engaging with God. You come to rest from all those demands. Have you noticed the first thing happens when you try and pray is all the voices trying to demand something? The things you've got to do. Oh, I must do that. Oh, I must do that. I must do that. See, so the first thing in building intimacy with God through prayer is prioritize time alone. It doesn't matter when you do it. Doesn't matter how you do it. But notice with Jesus, he got up while it was still dark. How did he do that? He didn't have an alarm clock, didn't have the internet, didn't have any of that stuff. But you see, he went to bed mentally prepared. Tomorrow, I'm getting up early. I'm getting into prayer. So in the midst of a revival, he woke up to pray, to hear fresh instructions on what to do with his life. He lived above the pressures of life because of intimacy. He was able to handle the stresses and demands of people because of what he carried within him. And here's the secret of it, just like David, here it is, while it was still dark, long time before daylight, I have found there's something about rising up when it's dark. I'm a bit of a night owl, I like the night, but I like getting up to be with God even more, so I've had to change and adapt my life. I found an interesting thing when you rise while it's still dark, in that early, that stage just before dawn, there's a stillness in the atmosphere in the spirit world. Spirit world's not busy. There's no busyness around, no noise around. There's something about that time that you can connect with and hear God. You're up before everyone else. You're up in the presence of God. It's a tremendous time to engage with God and to hear Him. But you just have to make it a priority. So it's a decision. And it'll start tonight with the time you go to bed. See? Don't go to bed at midnight and think you'll get up early. It ain't going to happen. You got to make a decision before you leave tonight. Tomorrow I rise and I'm going to begin increasing my intimacy with God. I'm going to grow this part of my life. It's a choice, decision. You make it before you go to bed and you begin to say, tomorrow I'm getting up. I'm going to have my time with God. I'm rising to meet with Him. I'm rising to connect with Him. I'm looking forward to that. So I go to bed with that in my mind, waking up thinking that same way. So prioritize your time alone. Notice with Martha and Mary, Martha was stressed out. She had all this pressure on. Now notice about Martha, this thing. She was the one who invited Jesus into a house. She was the one who came up with all the idea of the meal. She put all the stress and pressure on herself. And when she got stressed out and she's blaming and angry at her sister and trying to manipulate Jesus, he said, listen, Martha, Martha, one thing is needed. Mary chose it. It's a choice. You're just going to choose how you run your life. So make the choice. I'm going to engage with God, and every day when I go out to meet my world, I am carrying something. I'm not carrying the leftovers of what I got at last week's meeting. I'm not like the branch that's lying on the ground still looking like I'm alive because I was in a meeting and I got touched and life flowed into me. I'm still vitally connected and I've got life flowing in me. I'm joined to the source. I'm connected to the source. It's in me. Hey, that's what you want. I mean, it's always a choice. So do it. Do it. And set a place, a solitary place. And for me, I've got a place in we're right on the country. I've got a place I walk. It's a track that goes for kilometers, and I just get on there, and I've been able to extend my prayer by just pushing out how far I walk, and I take time in that prayer time to engage with God. For others, it'll be a room. Well, it doesn't really matter where it is. For some, you can't find all of that. You've got to learn then how to just quiet down and connect with God internally. I'll show you how to do that shortly. So it doesn't matter where you are. The first place, every time I go to any place, the first thing I look for is where can I go to meet alone with God? Where can I go to just talk with Him? And I get up early before everyone else is going so I can do that. I can't live my life without that. I've come to make the decision. I need that more than anything. And I would rather have that than have another meal out. Because I've learned that if you start making excuses and neglect your time with God pretty well, it starts to run down. And then you're living You're living off your experience or your gift and not out of fresh life. Got to be living out of fresh flow of encountering heaven. This year I encountered the Lord most amazing way. I'll share it just shortly. So there it is. Make that decision. Prioritize time. Next thing, next key. Here it is, 1 Corinthians 14:14. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in tongues. If you don't know how to pray in tongues, haven't got that gift yet, I understand. Next week, come along, Sunday night, you just get full up with the Holy Ghost. It'll be an amazing experience. Be great. 1 Corinthians 14:14, if I pray in the Spirit or pray in tongues, my spirit is praying. Your spirit has a voice. Your spirit has eyes. Your spirit has ears. Your spirit has senses. And so pray in the Holy Ghost. When I pray in the Spirit or pray in tongues, my spirit man is starting to arise and begin to get a voice. God is a spirit. If I'm going to be intimate with Him, it's spirit to spirit. It's not just a soulish feeling. See, a lot of people mistake the flow of the Spirit from some kind of soulish thing. So you can be in an atmosphere of music and feel, you could be in a bar doing the same thing, That'd be hard to tell the difference. And a lot of people come into meetings and actually they're under heaviness and they're under spiritual oppression and they've not actually made a decision to build a life with God. And so melancholy really works. It's like it doesn't require any effort, doesn't require me to rise up, doesn't require anything. But if I'm going to live a powerful life with God, I've got to build my spirit. I've got to engage my spirit. So when you are, listen to me, listen. If you're going to connect and know Jesus, it's the Holy Spirit reveals Him. So when you pray in tongues, you're starting to engage gears. You know, you're throwing your spirit man into gear, connected to the Holy Ghost. You start to pray in tongues until you start to feel the river of life flowing from inside you. Until that river's flowing. Learn to pray until it's easy to arise in the Spirit. I usually, yesterday we got the young people, we said, come on, let's hear what you got. Let's see what you got. So they get all praying in tongues. And it was like this. There was kind of nothing there, And so I said, come on, we can do better. Let's just come up another level. Time we'd finished, I think everyone in the camp must have heard us. The spirit life starting to flow. So you just make a decision to stir your spirit, man. It's not about praying loud. It's about rising on the inside and releasing the life of God, the flow of the Spirit, because it's that flow of the Spirit you're working with that will be revelation and intimacy will come from. I found it powerful praying in tongues. I pray in tongues a lot. And so when you come to pray, boldly, do it boldly. Wake your body up, Don't stay passive and sort of heavy. Wake your body up. Begin to stir your spirit up and give God something. Don't come into His presence with nothing. Come in with something. Come in with strong praying in tongues until your spirit's flowing and flowing and flowing and flowing. Then you can begin to change. You can begin to dial down a bit. You can learn to engage and through the next couple of things, connect with God. But this is the first phase of it, is stirring up your inner man. 1 Corinthians 14:2, he that prays in an unknown tongue speaks to God. So how better can it get? God put His Spirit inside you. You make the decision to engage gears, to arise and begin to speak in tongues and allow your spirit to flow. Oh, that is fantastic. What a gift. What a gift. What a gift. And what did Jesus say? Listen, I'm not going to leave you an orphan. I'm going to give you a gift. He is called the Holy Spirit. He will be inside you. You're not waiting to bring God down. You're waiting for you to rise up. It's a whole big difference, isn't it? Waiting for God to come. He says, rise up, stir up what you got on the inside. You rise up, you enter into the presence. You can do that any day you want. We can do that. Here's another key. This is a powerful key. Notice it says in 1 Corinthians 14:14, it says that when you pray in tongues, your mind is unfruitful. Now, your mind needs to get engaged in this prayer thing. Let me tell you why. It's all about connection. It's all about connecting. See, it's not just about praying. It's about intimacy. It's about a connection which leads to interaction. See? So now just look at it from a natural point of view. Let's just look first of all from something that you would all experience in life. How many of you have been talking to someone and there's a flow going and you're talking away and then you notice that their eyes are sort of glazing over and they've disconnected and they've gone somewhere else and they're standing there right in front of you? But you know they're thinking about something else. Now, how many have had that experience? Everyone had that experience? Okay, right. Now, you notice that you actually feel that. There's some part of you feels the change. Because when you were talking and they were listening, there was a draw from your spirit into them. As soon as they just shifted their mind and attention and went somewhere else, immediately there's a break in the spirit connection. There's a break in the flow. And now the energy or what's coming out of your spirit is going nowhere. It just returns to you. And that's why you can actually feel the disconnect. Anyone who's got any amount of sensitivity can feel when someone switched off. You can literally feel it. Others don't. They just blabber on. Blah, 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 blah. Oop, come on, out of your world, man. But it's something that you can feel and experience. Now, just take that over now into your connection with God. In order to connect, there's a need for my attention to be on Him. I need to focus my attention. I've got to give Him my attention. And that's where one of the battles comes. The first is with your body, just to awaken, and this praying in tongues can help that in an amazing way, getting your spirit stirred. But I've got to give Him my attention. And the problem is, for most people, is their mind gets drawn into all kinds of things. It goes everywhere. You know, you notice when you start to pray, the first thing you remember, everything you got to do, just get a piece of paper, write them all down. In the end, there's nothing to remember. It's all there. But you've actually got to do something with your mind. See, if you just stand like this and praying in tongues, ka ba 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 shaka ba, and then what's happening is in your mind you're thinking, oh, that was a great meal I had with Pastor Phil at lunch. Oh, that barramundi, is it? Yeah, barramundi and chips. And, oh, that was nice. You start to think, oh, I wouldn't mind some more of that. And you see, you're praying in tongues, ba 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 shaka ba ba ba, and praying in tongues, but your mind has gone somewhere else. You know, even your body will start to feel hunger. Your body's following your mind. And it just starts to get hungry. And so I found many times people come to encounter God, what they do is they don't deal with the mind. Now, the way to deal with your mind is you must put something in there. You need to focus your attention, not just be empty-minded. See, the empty mind will soon find a distraction. So it's a matter of focus. Focus is just about eliminating distractions. And one of the best ways to do it is to put a picture in your mind. Meditation is about picturing, imagining, dwelling on what the Word of God says about Jesus. Very simple. It's not that hard. So here's one of the things I've noticed is your mind or your inner man cannot comprehend something abstract. So for example, if you were to say, God loves me, everyone believes it in their head. But it needs to become revelation in the heart. To get revelation in the heart, I need to be able to see and feel what that looks like. And so having a picture to connect with will actually engage your inner man. Think about that. If I just say, oh, I'm going to reach out to God, well, what does that look like? For most people, they just can't stay in that place for any length of time. So I found one of the simplest ways to begin to engage and connect with the Lord is to begin to take Scripture and begin to paint a picture in my imagination, just as the Bible describes Jesus, either Psalm 23, the Good Shepherd, or the Sermon on Jesus on the Mount, who's transfigured, or in Revelation where John saw Him, and begin to see Him, begin to imagine Him, begin to picture Him in front of me, and let my imagination become stimulated so I can let the Spirit of God bring revelation. So in other words, it's positioning your mind so you can experience God. So it's very simple. I begin to look at what, see, imagine, for example, the 23rd Psalm. 23rd Psalm, we know it, you know, they pray it at funerals. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So, and people get the wrong understanding of that thing. This is the story. This is a man who was a shepherd. He was a shepherd. He looked after sheep. He knew what it was to live with them and sleep with them and protect them and knew them by name. He called them out. He led them out. He would take them to places. He watched what they were eating. He'd take them to a better place. He took them to places they could rest. And he would anoint them. He would look after them. He'd protect them. This is his life. And so he says, I have made God my shepherd. So for David, when he's writing, he's got this powerful picture of a friend. And so he's declared, this is my friend. So he'd begin, I found what helped me was just begin to picture Jesus as a friend. His eyes smiling and alive. I begin to look and dwell and let my mind picture exactly how the Bible describes him. His eyes flash like fire, looking right into you, accepting, loving,
smiling. You begin to think of a friend when you see someone who's your friend. Normally they say, hey, great to see you, and they smile. Have you ever thought that God is really happy to see you, and that when you come into his presence, it really helps if you can see him and picture him, and he's smiling, and he's welcoming you. He's glad to be there. Now, you say, well, that's all your imagination. Now, here's the problem. When we think imagination, we think it's not real. It's something you imagined. That's typical Western thinking. The imagination links you to the realm of the spirit. If God is wanting to give visions and dreams, where do they come? Via your spirit into your imagination. What controls your imagination controls an important gate into your life. So, I can take what the Bible says about Jesus, begin to picture it and imagine it, form a picture in my mind, and as I'm praying, I allow my heart now, which is focused, my mind's focused, I allow myself to just reach out and let him know how much I love him. And as you do that, the Spirit of God starts to make it become real. And then you don't know what kind of encounters or experiences you'll have with him. I remember just a little while ago just saying to a woman as a meeting, we're having great flow of the Spirit. I said, would you like to encounter the Lord? She said, oh, I'd love to. I said, well, come on, it's real easy. Show you what to do. So she came up on the stage and I just said, put your hand on my hand. So here's where you close your eyes. She said, how far away do you reckon heaven is? And she didn't really know. I said, it's only one step away. So I said, imagine if one step you could step from here and you'd be right in the presence of the Lord. Could you imagine that right now? I said, close your eyes. I said, on the count of three, just take one step, and there you are in the presence of the Lord. He's that close. And so she did it, and then she did this. She did like this. I never seen anything like it. She sort of went like this. She went, and she got halfway through the step and froze and remained there an hour and a half. And people began to laugh. They were all laughing. In fact, the majority of the church had no clue that she was having an encounter. The very thing I just talked to about, that the distance between heaven and earth is just one step of faith away. All you have to do is align on the inside. She stayed there for an hour and a half encountering Jesus, having personal revelation of him that literally changed her life. I said afterwards, what happened? She said, he took me through the Bible. He showed me things. He gave insights about himself. She said, I didn't want to come back. I just carried on the meeting. So I've got this picture there somewhere, and she's behind. Now, of course, it's up on the screen. You can see her on the screen. And she's like this. Now, you just can't even stand that way for that long like that. And she's just like that. She didn't even get the full step. I thought, just take one step. Just go like that. And she didn't even get the one step. She just got halfway. And she stuck there. And so I just preached, and we had an altar call and got people saved, and we got ready for deliverance. Suddenly, well, she's there. She's back with us again. And she had been in an encounter. And what triggered it was, one, there was an environment of the anointing flowing. Two, I got her to stretch her faith out. Three, I got her to use her imagination and begin to see what she was entering into. And that was it. God did the rest. I couldn't make that up. I remember I was leading a group of people, musicians, into a similar kind of encounter. And there's a great atmosphere of God, and we did this. And I thought, well, you know, everyone else is having experiments of God. I should do the same myself. And so I closed my eyes, and I just began to reach out. And I began to picture Jesus, and I just reached at him. And suddenly, I had an encounter with heaven. And it wasn't what I expected, because I didn't know what was going to happen. When you experience God this way, you don't know what will happen. And I saw two people standing there. Some of you might find this a little hard to handle. I saw two people, a young man, a young woman. They're about 30, 31, 32, 33, somewhere about that age group. I looked at them and they said, hi, Dad. And there's two children we had miscarried years ago. And I looked and I knew immediately that they were my son and daughter. I suddenly realized I could look and see the features on their face. Now, you got to remember, I never saw these children. They were miscarriages. But when I saw them, I knew exactly who they were. And they began to talk to me about heaven and about their experience in heaven. And then Jesus came alongside me. And he's carrying a grandchild that we miscarried only a few months ago. And I'm just stunned, because I started off just meditating on Jesus, and I've got well past that now. Something's happening that the Holy Spirit is doing. And Jesus said, I want to show you something. And he just suddenly showed me in a moment all of these children, miscarried children, aborted children, just innumerable. I couldn't count. There were so many. And then he said, look again. And as I looked again, I saw they were all Chinese. And you know, Jesus had not one bit of condemnation. He just said, every one of them has got a mother who's grieving. I want you to learn how to minister to people who've had this problem and help them and put it on the television and put it in media and send it right into China. Now, I didn't start off with that and I didn't work all of that out. It's the flow of the Spirit when you have intimacy with heaven. You don't know where it will lead. Heaven is so close. God is so close. Why would you not want to cultivate intimacy with Him? It's an exciting journey. Now, when I share that, of course, that's only one thing that's happened. There's been other things that have happened as well. But there's been a journey of building my life with God daily to make the preparation for those kind of encounters. I believe God has got encounters for this generation. I believe this generation is a generation called to encounter God. And it needs experiences of the supernatural to counter the wave of the occult that's going right through the world. And so the question is whether you'll be the kind of person that will say to have an answer. Listen, a program is not going to answer it. People need the Lord. They need spiritual substance. They need someone carrying spiritual reality. They need you to make your decision. You'll be a man of the Spirit, a person who walks with God. So here's a couple. I'll finish with a couple of things now to run out of time. But let me just give you, because these are quite important. Another aspect I found really helpful in this engaging God is to just present myself to Him. The Bible says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Presenting your spirit, the faculties of your soul, your mind, emotions, your imagination, your ears and hearing, your seeing, your ability to speak, your heart affections. As you go through that, just slowly, one by one, presenting them to the Lord, you become conscious if there are things you need to attend to, if you've been listening to things that you need to repent of. If you've been looking at things you need to repent of, if you've got affections or attachments in your heart, listen, we are made for attachment. So if we don't attach to God, we'll attach to something else, and it may not be healthy for us. So I found in the time of intimacy, usually there's a period where some areas of repentance come up, where some areas of confession of things, to remove the blocks to the flow of intimacy with God. You don't have to start off with that. He just says, come boldly into my presence. But I found if you'll arise in your spirit, begin to meditate and engage Him, soon you become conscious if there are things in your life that are in the way. For some of you, it may be unforgiveness. For some of you, it may be deep-seated anger. For some, it may be inner vows. For some, you may have sexual sin going on in your life. Listen, that's the one thing that will hinder intimacy with God more than anything. That's why God says it's such a serious sin. Now, it's not because He's against sexual intimacy. He's all for it. He even thought of it. Here's the issue. The part of your brain that's involved in sexual intimacy is the same part involved in worship. So if that part gets defiled, you have images and you become disconnected or you become attached to the wrong things. You find it very difficult to engage intimately with God. That's why people need to get cleansed in this area of the life and soul. If you've got defilements there, you need to let God bring and make you clean, get you cleaned up on the inside. And the purpose of cleaning up is so you can enjoy intimacy. Intimacy with God, intimacy with a spouse. Because the problem with sexual sin, no other sin, it brings something into you that changes you and shifts your capacity for intimacy. That's why it's so important to address it. That's why I can't let myself have secret fantasies going on. I can't afford that because it's going to get in the way. It'll build tracks in my brain. And when I need to be seeing the Lord, I'll have other stuff I'm imagining. It's like, so I will speak into my mind. I'll just command things to go if there's stuff that starts to come back from my past. I'll apply the blood of Jesus Christ to it, speak into my mind. I speak to the trees. Caroline Leaf came up with some recent understandings of the brain, that your brain and your thoughts form thought trees. And I thought, if there's a thought tree and it's got bad fruit on it, I can curse the tree because that's what Jesus did, and it'll diminish. So we can, in our time with God, as we present ourselves to Him, that's when you start to clean up things, start to put things right. If there's blocks, you become aware of them. Start to get them out of your life. Just because, you know why you want to get them out of your life? Because I want to enjoy more of Him. And if there's a block, I just need to remove it. It's not about the demons. The demons just empower the block. It's your block. You built it, or you permitted it to be there. So a lot of people, they come to the area of deliverance. Demons, just all they want to do is this. They want to block your intimacy with God and then express their life through you. And so they can only do it if they've got a structure in your soul that they can work off. They've got to have a platform to land. And so deliverance is about not only about the demons. It's about taking ownership of who you're going to be. Am I going to be a haunted house or a temple of the living God? Oh, some people are like a haunted house. It's scary. All the stuff they got going on inside. Well, you permitted it or you built it. You can do something about it. Bring it to the Lord and get it right. Amen? Amen? Last part of intimacy, you've got to learn to listen. Learn to listen to God. Spend time listening. Listening is vital. I need to hear Him speak through the impressions, through pictures He may give. Journaling is a great way to hear God speak. Spending time just reading the Word of God, saying, Holy Spirit, You wrote it, now speak to me and make it living. Go through and get that pattern of sitting down quietly, receiving and listening. Let God talk to you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to be intimate with you. He paid a huge price. And I tell you what, He paid the price because the outcome of intimacy is so valuable. See, Jesus modeled what a Spirit-filled man looks like. And God's plan is you become like that, able to minister His life, carry His life. Don't go praying. It's okay to pray for revival one day, but what say tomorrow you rose up and said, I'm going to carry revival. I'm going to use what God has given me and build a life with God because He's given me the ability. I can get up. I can make it a priority. I can arise in the morning. I can make it a habit. I can pray in the Spirit. I can meditate. I can get the Word of God. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. God says, if I'll do it and draw near, He will draw near to me. Amen. Come on.
Thanks for listening to the C3 Church podcast. Visit us online at myc3church.net. Join us next time for more great teaching.